Master, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we have a responsibility to know what they are. And we'll just start at the beginning of the New Testament and work our way through. And we've looked at 14 so far. I'll quickly review them. Number one, follow Jesus. Number two, shine for Jesus or be a witness. Number three, do not kill, which Jesus expounded upon, talked about hate. Number four, reconcile or forgive always. Number five, do not commit adultery, which Jesus also expounded upon, that men can commit adultery with their eyes. No divorce, don't swear, no evil for evil. In other words, love your enemies, be perfect, holy and godly, pray and fast, give and don't covet. Trust the Lord, be content and put God's kingdom and his righteousness first and judge not. And that just took us up to Matthew 7:1. So today we go to Matthew 7:12, where we look at what's often referred to as the golden rule. And we will combine it with the command to love our neighbor as ourself. So this will be number 15. So who would read Matthew 7:12? Mr. Scott, actually, if you would read that to get us started. Howard, Matthew 19:19. And Philip, Matthew 22:39. Okay, Brother Scott? 7:12.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Amen. Howard 19:19.
Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. And then 22:39, Philip? Amen. So we can see that even just in Matthew, we have this command to treat others as we would want to be treated and to love our neighbor as ourself, because most people don't have a problem loving themselves. That's part of our fallen nature, isn't it? To be self-centered. So we'll go to Luke 6:31 and we'll pray and we'll get started looking at our 15th commandment as we walk through the New Testament. So let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. Use your word to teach us, to grow us. Lord, we want to please you and honor you as our master. And Lord, as we walk through this study together and understand what all of your commandments are, may they not be grievous, but instead may we take joy in obeying them for you. And so, Lord, we commit this class today into your hands and pray you'll be pleased with it and glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Mark Zeus, Luke 6:31, please. And Beth, Luke 10:27. And we'll, actually, no.
Yeah.
Amen. And then Luke 10:27, Beth. And thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we're going to stop here because the person he was talking to was a bit of a smart aleck and said in verse 28, who then is my neighbor? And, verse 29, who then is my neighbor? So then Jesus tells us probably the most well-known parable in the Bible. The parable of the what? The Good Samaritan. Jesus told this parable to answer the question, who is my neighbor? If I'm supposed to treat my neighbor, love my neighbor as much as I love myself, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I'll just read through it super quickly, but you know the parable and you understand the message Jesus is trying to get across, don't you? But this is a command that we love our neighbors ourselves, and Jesus explains it now, saying in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So now we have no confusion as to what Jesus means when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, do we? If we see someone that has a need, meet the need. That is biblical love, isn't it? And so that's a beautiful, only the Lord could give such a beautiful parable and say so much with so few words. So the Good Samaritan was given to help us understand who is our neighbor. How do we love our neighbor? All right, we'll move on. Romans 13, 9 and 10. Maggie. And Galatians 5:14, Brad. And Jackie, James 2:8. All right, so Romans 13, 9 and 10. So love is the fulfilling of the law. Isn't that good? So by loving your neighbors yourself, he says pretty much that wraps up the whole embodiment of our commandments as far as how we treat one another is love your neighbors yourself. All right, Galatians 5:14, Brad. So even Paul says, all the law is fulfilled in this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jackie, James 2:8.
If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and you do well.
So God here refers to it as the royal law. Isn't that interesting? And again, people often refer to it as the golden rule, but God calls it the royal law. So that is our 15th commandment. Love your neighbors yourself. And treat others as you would have them treat you, which is essentially saying the same thing in a different way, but always treat others with love. And love is action. So, and we see that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, don't we? How did he show love to this man that had been wounded and left half dead? By saying, I love you? No, by helping him, by meeting his needs, picking him up, taking him to the inn, making sure he's taken care of and helps to heal from his wounds. And that was love. And that was the answer to the question. So number 15 is love your neighbors yourself or treat others as you would have them to treat you. Very beautiful commandment. All right, number 16, also in Matthew 7, is verses 13 and 14. So, Doug, you want to read those to us as an introduction?
Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be we which go in thereunto. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be.
So the commandment is to enter at the straight gate. Now we all understand what Jesus is saying here, don't we? We need to be saved. We need to go in the narrow gate because sadly the gate to destruction is broad. And as he said, many there be which go in thereat. Sadly the gate, the straight gate is it's narrow and it says few there be that find it. which should make us that much more thankful we did. Amen? That we are saved. Because God said himself that it would always be a minority that would find the straight gate and enter that way. Now, Jesus goes further on in Matthew 7, down to verse 22. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So he's explaining here, this isn't a commandment, but he's explaining that you can't get to heaven by doing great things. You can't get to heaven and say, I prophesied and I cast out devils and I did many wonderful works. Jesus, he said, I never knew you. He has to know us. Amen? We have to be his. And so, as we know, this is one of the commandments of the New Testament, is that we enter the straight gate or that we get saved. And there's only one gate, and that's Jesus himself. He says so in John, doesn't he, that he's the door. So let's look at some verses. We all know this, but Matthew 11, 28, Brother Scott, and John 3, 3 and 7, Brother Howard, and Philip, John 6, 29, and Mark, John 6, 40, Mark Zeus, that is, and Beth, John 7, 37. We'll go that far. Brother Scott, Matthew.
Come to me, O ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
So what's Jesus saying? Come unto me. And we'll talk about this more when we get to Matthew 11. What does he mean when he says, O ye that labor and are heavy laden? He's talking to the Jews, and he says, you're trying to earn your way to heaven. And that's exactly what they were doing. They believed that because they were Jews and because they were keeping the commandments that had been given to them by the scribes and Pharisees, that they could earn heaven, and that was a burden. They were trying to earn it. He says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. And again, we'll talk about that more. Okay, Brother Howard, John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Amen. And in John 6, 29?
Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom ye have seen.
This is an important verse. We looked at this recently on Wednesday nights. This is the work of God. Remember, they said to Jesus, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Because they were saying, what do we do to earn heaven? Well, you can't earn heaven. The work of God, the work of God that's going to get us to heaven is believe. Believe on Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. And then John 6:40, was that Beth?
Yeah,
that was Mark, sorry. Amen. So that's God's will, that we believe on Jesus. In John 7:37, Beth?
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Amen. And we know there he's talking about, later on he mentions the rivers of living waters. And then John 14:1, Maggie. And Acts 16:31, Brad. Robin, Romans 10, 9, Jackie, James 1, 21. Okay, Maggie?
If not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me.
Now that's a commandment, amen? Mm-hmm. Believe in me. All right, Acts 16:31, Brad.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen. And then Romans 10:9, Robin? That might be 1 Corinthians 10:9. We need Romans 10:9. Amen. And then James 1:21. Amen. Which is able to save your souls. And then let's go to 1 John 3:23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave commandment, which we'll talk more about the loving one another. So, enter at the straight gate. And of course, the rest of the New Testament expounds upon that for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be saved. You can say it a lot of different ways. You must be born again, but we must turn to Christ as the solution to our sin problem, as our Savior, and believe on Him and accept Him to enter the straight gate. And that's a commandment. For human beings, the most important one, because if we don't obey that commandment, then the rest of them don't mean anything. We're going to hell. So we must be born again. We must enter at the straight gate. So any thoughts or questions about number 16? Jackie?
It's actually probably going back to the one before, but you mentioned the sin, love one another. When he commands us all to love one another, and he specifically says that the husbands to love the wife like Christ loved the church, is that a different type of love, a different commandment?
Well, it is a different commandment in that if you go to John 13, Jesus is saying that we were already told in the Old Testament to love one another. I think it's in Leviticus. I'm not sure. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it is an Old Testament commandment that we are to love our neighbors ourselves. That is given in the Old Testament. So when Jesus here in John 13, verse 34, says, "A new commandment I give unto you," what makes it new is the phrase, "as I have loved you." So he's saying, now I want you to go beyond, and he's primarily talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, how we should love one another, but he's saying, I want you to go beyond loving others as yourself. Now I want you to love others as I've loved you. Because now God has displayed, or very soon, will display His love, not long after this was spoken, just a couple of days, through Calvary. Complete, sacrificial, unconditional love. And he says, this is now a new commandment because now I want you to love others as I've loved you. And then husbands are specifically told to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So, is your question, is that different than the John 13 one? Yes.
But that's the same kind of love that a husband is to show his wife anyway.
It is.
I just wondered why it was a separate.
Why God pointed that out separately for husbands to love their wives? Probably because men are rat bags.
It could also be a reflection of agape love, which is Jesus loves us because we need Him. It could be a reflection of that as well. We should love our wives because they need us.
Yep, amen. So we are to love as Christ loved us. And that's for all of us, but He does single out the men, or the husbands, to love as Christ loved the church. And so we can study, how did Christ love the church? But that's a good question. And we'll get to John 13, 34, because it is a new commandment. All right, Matthew 7:15 will be number 17. And then, believe it or not, we're actually going to leave Matthew 7 and move on after this. So Matthew 7:15, Doug, could you read that for us?
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
So beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. What is Jesus teaching us here? How can we beware of false prophets?
By understanding the scriptures.
Exactly. You can't do that unless you know how to beware of false prophets unless you can identify false teachings. And the only way you can do that is if you have a knowledge of God's word, right? You have no other way unless you have the ability to compare what you're hearing with scriptures. So you need to know the scriptures. And so we'll see this all through the New Testament. So go to Matthew 16. And look at verse 6. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So if you read on, the disciples thought he was talking about bread, which they were being a bit silly. And so then he made it clear. He said, how is it that you do not understand, down in verse 11, that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus had to explain it to them. He was talking about beware of their false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Could that be also their bread without leaven will to stay flat, but when they put yeast in it, it swells? Could that be partly to talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees making extra laws, man-made laws to buffer them from God's laws? In other words, swelling the word of God?
Well, leaven in Scripture always has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And it's talking about essentially sin in most places. But yes, it's the Pharisees and Sadducees added hundreds of commandments to God's word. Most of them were not. Most of them were made up. So yes, absolutely. So this is a command for us to beware of the leaven or the doctrine, to beware of false prophets. So right after he tells us to enter the straight gate, now we need to beware of false teachings. And the only way we can do that is to utilize the tool he gave us to do that, and that is his word. So let's look at some other scriptures where we're commanded here. Ephesians 4:14, Brother Scott. And Howard, Philippians 3:2. Philip, Colossians 2:8. Mark, 1 Timothy 6:3 through 5. We'll just stop there for now. So Brother Scott, Ephesians 4:14.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we may lie in wait to deceive.
So if we're commanded to be no more children, what is he commanding us? To grow up, to mature, right, in our understanding of God's word, because then he talks about doctrine. Okay, Philippians 3:2, Howard.
Beware of dogs, beware of evil witches, beware of concision.
The concision is just another way of saying the Jewish people, the circumcision. Okay, Colossians 2:8, Philip. So again, a beware here in Colossians of what? Philosophy, vain deceit after the tradition of men. So there's a lot of philosophies out there. There's a lot of traditions out there. There's a lot of deceit out there that's not scriptural. God says, beware. And then Mark 1 Timothy 6:3 through 5. From such withdraw thyself. So withdraw yourself from people that are trying to promote false doctrine. All right, 2 Timothy 2:15, Beth. And Hebrews 13:9, Maggie. Brad, 1 Peter 2:2. 2, 2, and Robin 1 John 4:1. So Beth, 2 Timothy 2:15, most of us know this verse. 2 Timothy 2:15. Yes, sorry. Is that a command? Yes, it is. Study. Study to show thyself approved. All right, Hebrews 13:9.
Be not carried about with perverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them and been occupied therein.
Diverse and strange doctrines. How are we going to avoid diverse and strange doctrines? We have to know the word. 1 Peter 2:2, Brad. So that's a command that we desire His Word that we might grow. And then Robin, 1 John 4:1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. If there are many false prophets of God out into the world.
Try the spirits, because many false prophets are going out into the world. So Matthew to 1 John were warned to beware of false doctrine, to beware of false prophets, to beware of false teachings, so that we don't get led astray. And the only way we can do that is that we mature in His Word so that we're able to discern false versus true doctrine. And that only comes from the truth, which is God's Word. So beware of false prophets. That's a big commandment, isn't it? To be ready, to be prepared. And that's our 17th one. Any questions before we go to Matthew 10, verse 28? And we might not finish this one today, but I'll introduce it. Matthew 10, 28. Interesting commandment. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What's He saying? Fear God and don't fear man. Right? So we're not to fear man because man has the ability to kill our body. We're to fear God because only God has the ability to send us to hell. And this is all through the Old Testament, is it not? Fear not, fear not, fear not. But it's also all through the New Testament that we're not to fear man, but that we are to fear God. Now, fearing God, a lot of people don't quite understand what that means. There is a genuine fear of chastisement if we're His child and we're disobedient, but it goes beyond that, doesn't it? More into reverence, that God is who God is and we're just wicked sinners. And there's I don't know what word to use, but that amazing respect of who God is versus us, that we're to fear Him. But He is to definitely be feared by the lost. And sadly, many of them don't fear God. But even as children of God, we're to fear God, we're to live our lives in the fear of God. We're told that, as we'll see. So let's look at it in Luke 12, this parallel passage here where Jesus expounds on it a little bit. But the basic commandment, number 18, is fear God and not man. So Luke 12:5-7, Jackie. So again, don't fear man, don't fear the world, don't fear circumstances, but fear God and only God. All right, let's move on and see this all through John 14:27, Doug. And Acts 9:31, Mr. Scott. Yeah, we'll finish this one today. And Howard, 2 Corinthians 7:1. So Doug, John 14:27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
So don't let your heart be afraid of this circumstances, of the people, of the world, any of it. Okay, Brother Scott, Acts 9:31.
Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied.
So notice the early church was walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what God wants from us, walking in the fear of the Lord. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:1, Howard.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then Hebrews 12:28 and 29, Philip. Hebrews 12:28, 29, Mark, Zeus, 1 Peter 1:17. Hebrews 12:28, 29, very important one.
Therefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
So serve God with reverence and godly fear. So that's a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Should people be afraid of a consuming fire? Absolutely. That's built into us, right? And the world should be afraid that someday they're going to meet this consuming fire in judgment, but they're not, sadly. That's what it says in Romans 2. There's no fear of God before their eyes. But we as God's children need to fear the Lord. Reverence and godly fear. We're to serve Him that way. We're not to fear man, but we are to fear God. And then 1 Peter 1:17, Mark. So 1 Peter 1:17 says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, we've already been told not to fear man. So that means we're to pass our time fearing the Lord, serving the Lord with reverence and godly fear. So very important commandment number 18. Any questions before we close? Next week we'll go to Matthew 11, but I'm going to preach on it anyway this morning. Nobody? Brother Mark, close in prayer, please.